Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everyone. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday from the Chateau of the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I know on the State College end of things, a violent layer of thunderstorms that have rolled through here.
Soon to hit the Susquehanna Valley then, Steve, if it's coming west.
It's more moving northeast.
Ooh. We could dodge the proverbial bullet then, maybe.
Hey, you guys could. We didn't. We got hit head on here. Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports, their outstanding college basketball analyst, will be on the show tomorrow.
Right in time for the NBA draft.
Exactly. That's why we're going to have him on. A lot to talk about. But the NBA is different than the NFL in many ways, but here's one of them. In the NFL, you go through free agency and you fill whatever gaps, and then you draft.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you know going into the draft what your gaps happen to be. In the NBA, you draft and then players go through free agency. Free agent signing period begins July 1, next week, next Tuesday.
And, Steve, is there the equivalent in the NBA of the NFL combine where there's workouts and things like that?
Oh, yeah, they do. They have an NBA pre-draft camp. And in fact, I've watched it. That's why the Dante Exum is from Australia. That's how I've seen him.
Okay.
I watched him in the NBA pre-draft camp. Saw a little bit of it, liked it, and I think he's going to be one of the top five picks in the draft.
Yeah, I misplaced my invitation to that camp, so I never got to go, and so I always regretted that. But so fans like me, I did not know that there was that. And I guess the other thing that when you just mentioned an Australian, basketball is such an international game now, not like the NFL. I mean, the NFL would be Canada, would be the only real country to draft, maybe a couple Aussie kickers. But truly, the draft could be worldwide in its scope.
Well, the draft is now. You've had Yao Ming, obviously, from China. You've had, like, Andrew Gaze from Australia before. You've had,
Well, Adams from New Zealand.
New Zealand. You have obviously Steve Nash from Canada, Andrew Wiggins, who will be drafted first overall probably tomorrow night by Cleveland. He's Canadian. You have obviously the huge European influence from England all the way through to France, Bosnia, mm-hmm. Serbia, Lithuania. I mean, on and on. I mean, the NBA definitely is a worldwide. It was a worldwide draft, and that's what makes it very difficult. There are a lot of underclassmen that have declared for the draft, and nearly half of them are not going to get picked. There's only 60 players that are drafted. That's why it is really a roll the dice, catch as catch can. That's why my advice is that to any player is that if you're not going to be a lock top 10, top 15 pick, don't get an agent. Go through the process and then figure out if you're a second round pick, you know what, even as a second round pick, I think it's iffy.
Sure.
Because the guaranteed money is nowhere near what a first round pick is going to be. A first round pick, it's a guaranteed 3-year contract.
And, Steve, if you get an agent, do you lose your eligibility to play college basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, so I think that's sound advice then. So if you get an agent, you can kiss your college career goodbye,
you're done.
And you may not even get drafted or even a free agent possibility.
Right. you're done.
Okay.
Okay, now, earlier, Mark Emmert had made comments on the witness stand in which he... it didn't seem like it was... It seemed rather condescending toward minor league sports. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark Emmert drafted a letter to Pat O'Connor, who's the president and CEO of Minor League Baseball in St. Petersburg. This is the letter he wrote. Dear Mr. This is from Mark Emmert. Dear Mr. O'Connor, minor league baseball is one of America's greatest traditions. It goes without saying that some of our greatest sports heroes have come from and through minor league teams. We at the NCAA, along with all Americans, celebrate your accomplishments, and I personally have enjoyed numerous games along with the many terrific fans and families across the country. For context, the O'Bannon case is focused on television rights and whether men's basketball and football student-athletes should be paid to play because their games are televised. We strongly believe that the principles of amateurism prohibit payment. My responses at trial only were intended to suggest that our nation's colleges and universities should not be used as minor league teams for professional men's basketball and football. We at the NCAA believe in amateurism, and I meant nothing beyond that. I commend Minor League Baseball for the incredible fan engagement efforts that you've undertaken over the last several decades. Your games are fun, family-friendly, and enjoyed by young and old alike across the country. It's in no way did I mean to imply that they were not. I'd like to take you up on your offer, and I'll be happy to join you at any minor league game you wish this summer. Sincerely, Mark Emmert, President of NCAA.
That was after he wiped the egg off his face when he was on the witness stand in court, apparently.
Right. You know, but in all fairness, yeah, at least he owned up to it. Okay,
he did.
I mean, he understood. Hey, wait a minute, because you know, minor league baseball. You know, I don't care if they're mad at me. You know, no, he didn't take that attitude,
yeah,
which is okay. And
the
so
letter
that
actually
part
was,
I commit
was pretty humbling for a guy that lacks in many people's eyes a lot of humility.
Yes, agreed. Here's the issue. I don't want to look at... They're trying to preserve amateurism. Amateurism, to me, is the walk-on. That, to me, is an amateur, is the walk-on, who, until he starts getting meals on August 1st, goes to class, goes to practice, plays for the love of the game, school, the whole thing.
They made a movie about that. Rudy.
Yeah. Well, Rudy was offsides.
Exactly. But still, you're talking really the Rudys of the world, I think, in a certain
right
way.
I mean, that's an amateur.
Yeah.
Brandon Smith from Lewisburg.
Exactly.
Okay, played linebacker last year, played fullback in the spring. He is a good, rock-solid football player.
Yes, he
is. He is a good, rock-solid football player. Can he be anything beyond that? Well, the door's open to him because he's going to be at Penn State, and now with Ben Klein getting banged up, I mean, let's face it,
yeah,
the door's open. I mean, now, Brandon played fullback in the spring. Doesn't mean he can't go back to linebacker.
Steve, as one who watched Brandon Smith play linebacker and decimate opposing backfields and offenses up and down the Susquehanna Valley, the guy can play linebacker. He's incredible.
And I thought he did a good job when I watched him at linebacker in the fall. I mean, that's the advantage. I actually have seen these guys, what they can and can't do. He can play. You can talk to the Kaiser family in Sealands Grove about what it meant to them that Ryan walk on, do it for the love of the game, for the love of Penn State, for the love of trying to push himself against other guys that are considered to be the best, and then earn his way into the lineup, earn himself a scholarship.
And
it's a
be the
great
hero
story.
And be the hero of a few Penn State victories, too.
And oh, exactly.
And talk about an amateur who, he's Rudy with the real heroic story outcome.
I mean, he's done really well. And there have been a lot of guys here who have walked on at Penn State, eventually who have earned scholarships along the way, such as Troy Drayton, who ended up being a second-round pick by the Miami Dolphins.
Out of Steelton, you know, Highspire, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really a great pro career, but you're right. He walked on, and he just took his chances as a real amateur.
I mean, Brad Scovel, when they in 1978, was a walk-on at tight end. It allowed Penn State started the season with Irv Pankey playing tight end. Then Pankey was able to go back to his natural spot at offensive tackle, and of course, Irv ended up having literally a 20-year NFL career. And those to me are the amateurs out there. They're not getting anything except for, yeah, they get the training table, right?
Yep.
Obviously, they get a chance to go in the weight, you know, they're in the weight room and everything. They have to do everything that the rest of the team does, but the walk-on is the amateur.
Let me throw out two more names of walk-ons that are, Steve, that are right here in this immediate area. A fella up in Lewisburg by the name of Adam Lynch of the legendary Lynch family. He walked on the wrestling team. He's now, I believe, or at least he was, the director of wrestling operations at Penn State, but came on as an amateur. Ended up making the varsity lineup because of some injuries and is just held in the highest esteem on the wrestling program, but a walk-on, an amateur. And in the same regard, from Danville, a real incredible athlete, Dylan Daly, that on any other team as a wrestler would be a starter. His problem was there was a guy named Ed Ruth that was in front of him. But Dylan's one of the guys that was pushing Ruth and a few other, and Morgan McIntosh, in the practice room to excel. And again, an amateur, a walk-on.
And then there's a kid named Alan Wisniewski who's on the basketball team here. Alan Wisniewski is from Michigan, goes to school here, tries out, and is able to earn a spot as a walk-on in the men's basketball team. For 2 years, Alan Wisniewski was going to school. His parents are paying the full freight. Obviously, he's had to get loans. He's had to get grants. He's had to whatever. He's had to do everything any other student can do. The difference is he's 6'11". Well, he also, while going to school, playing basketball, he also had a job at Quiznos downtown. And so here he is trying to balance, even during the basketball season, his job, his practice, games, and also while going to school. Well, he's a Dean's List student. And finally, Patrick Chambers had an opening, and it took Patrick seconds to give him. He says, look, we have 12 scholarships right now. You're allowed 13. You're getting the 13th scholarship. And he gave it to Alan.
And the world's tallest sandwich artist was born.
Gone.
Right? Yeah,
I mean,
no
finally, more. You know, suddenly didn't have to do that anymore.
I'll give you another amateur that came to Penn State that did exceedingly well. Guy from Lock Haven named Robbie Gold.
Yeah, Robbie Gold, okay. Walked on here, then earned a scholarship.
NFL All-Pro kicker from Lock Haven who came without a scholarship, stayed for a year or two without a scholarship till he was able to finally earn one his, I think, junior and senior years. But that was it.
Right. I mean, so this is what you have. I mean, to me, those are the, quote, amateurs in the NCAA, all right? Now, you know, and I say that because when you're getting a grant in aid, when you are getting a scholarship, you have to pay money. I mean, somebody has to pay somewhere for you to do that. And when you're getting room, okay, food, books and tuition paid for, that doesn't make you a professional, but it's a step above being an amateur, in my opinion.
Agreed from here.
See, and I think that what Mark Emmert has tried to do is he's been trying to promote this amateurism theme, and I'm not sure that's the route I would go. I would look at the judge and say, look, we have unfunded federal mandates. And what's that? It's called Title IX. You have to have it. You have to pay for it. This is how we do it. Now, we give out scholarships. We make sure that 20-something other sports are taken care of.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us as we roll through this Wednesday together. Doug Gottlieb tomorrow from CBS on the day of the NBA draft. We'll ask him about everything from Marcus Smart to Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Dante Exum, Noah Vonleh, Gary Harris, Doug McDermott.
Any chance a Penn State player may go tomorrow or not?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
I was wondering about that.
I would have thought 2 years ago that Tim Frazier, based on burst, speed, acceleration, he had some NBA moves, some NBA game to him. Mm-hmm. Without question.
Yes, he did.
He had all of that. And I thought that if he continued, but the one area that he is not great at is his jump shot is no better than okay. But his senior season was good, but not great. And part of that was, look, you're trying to come back from an Achilles. It's not easy. And you could see while he still had quickness, he didn't quite have the burst. There used to be that you could he could go by all five guys to get to the basket. I watched him last year with the ability to get by three guys but couldn't get by four and five. And driving to the basket, drive and finish, drive and kick is a big part of his game. He's also a really, he's a good defender, not a great defender. Tim will make a lot of money. He will play in Europe, in my opinion. That's where he'll end up. He'll end up playing in Europe. He'll have a nice career in Europe. And maybe at some point down the line, maybe after 3 years in Europe, he might be able to get himself into an NBA training camp, NBA Summer League, something like that. He went to Portsmouth. Did well at Portsmouth at the Pitt, but he is going to be, there's only 60 guys selected. And this is a very deep draft, too. It's very deep. When you look at the top and you've got Wiggins, Parker, Embiid, Exum. Now you're starting to get to Noah Vonleh, Randall. I mean, this is a deep draft. I hadn't even gotten around to McDermott yet. McDermott's a hell of a player.
Can you tell us, because people here in the Central Susquehanna Valley would be following, obviously, the Big Ten now with Penn State in it. What about some of the people that you covered in the Big Ten when you were doing play-by-play for Penn State? You saw both home and away. Who might we see their name get on the board tomorrow?
You'll see Gary Harris of Michigan State absolutely be on the board. He'll be there. I would not doubt that Gary Harris is one of the top 10 players picked. Good shooter. I felt that he did not knock my socks off when Keith Appling got hurt, and I felt it also hurt Harris's game a bit. But Harris is a good pure shooter, has an NBA body, very thick across the top. He defends very well, and I like his game. He'll be a top 10 pick out of Michigan State.
Now, I'm sorry. When you said thick across the top, you were not referring to his haircut, I take it.
No, I was talking about his upper body and the fact that if he wants to drive to the bucket, he can take a hit.
Okay.
I mean, he can take a hit. This is not a paper thin guy. This is a guy that knows where the weight room is.
Is that more and more important in the NBA?
Well, you have to be more physical in this thing. You can't be rail thin in this thing. And that's where Noah Vonleh of Indiana is going to be one of the top five picks. Now, in terms of stature and in terms of look, he has the look of an NBA player. He has the feel for an NBA player. But I felt there were too many times where at Indiana in the last 6 weeks, that he would disappear in games. That, and it wasn't all his fault. I think his teammates didn't do a very good job of making him the number one option. To me, drafting him, there are a couple other guys I would draft before him, but Vonleh, in terms of the look test, oh, he passes the look test. And when you watch him play, you can see he has a game. This is not a 6'10 glandular case that's just, you know, bumbling around the court trying to fit into his own body. He's a very smooth-looking basketball player. Do I think he's one of the top five picks in this draft? No. But he is tall. He is mobile. He has a shot. I mean, I probably would put him in the 15 to 20 range in terms of how I rank them, but I can see why they're going to put him in the top five. A guy that's going to be in the top 15 picks that I think is going to be a fantastic NBA player is Adrian Payne of Michigan State. Adrian Payne is a guy that can play outside because he's developed a really good shot. He can play with his back to the basket. He is athletic. He is mobile. He can run the floor. He is going to be a very good NBA player. Nick Stauskas of Michigan will also be one of the top 15 picks. Stauskas changed his game. Stauskas, when he first came in, was a one-trick pony, a three-point shooter with remarkable range and accuracy, and always impressed you with that. But then, after a while, look, people catch on to your game. Well, in the Big Ten, which is a very well-coached, very well-scouted league, people caught on to his game. And so he changed up last year. He not only had the pure stroke from the outside and the depth with which he could hit that shot, but he started taking the ball to the basket more. He started being a guy who could drive and kick to somebody else, a drive and a finisher, a drive and a pull-up jumper. He had a much better, well-rounded game. Whomever gets him is going to get the kind of range and shooter. Stauskas can be in this league for a dozen years, as far as I'm concerned, drawing a paycheck, because he has the ability to hit the shot. Glenn Robinson III is no better than an okay outside shooter. He did get better at it from 1 year to the next. Absolutely brilliant at driving the baseline and finishing. He's a fabulous finisher. He's an okay defender. Same thing with Stauskas. Stauskas as a defender is okay. Glenn Robinson III is okay as a defender. But he is a guy that can mix it up inside, can leap over everybody to get to a ball. He, you know, I don't know if he's a first-round pick. He might be in the late first round, early second round, but he is definitely going to get picked. Let's see, LaQuinton Ross of Ohio State. I was really surprised that he came out. I would have stayed if I were him, but LaQuinton Ross will probably be a second-round pick, in my opinion. When he's on, he has a good outside shot. It's just a question of whether he's on or not. He's had the ability to hit the big shot at the big moment in his career. Not a bad rebounder. He'll bring some of that to the table. He'll be okay. Trying to think. Aaron Kraft will get into a camp, but, you know, could possibly be a very late second-round pick. Great defender, great on-the-ball defender, outstanding footwork as a defender. Offensively, never got better, in my opinion, from the time he was a freshman till his senior year. It still looked like to me the same outside shot. Still looked to me like the same offensive skill set. You know, good passer, okay shot. Received a lot of credit because he's a good, hardworking, pure basketball player. But you have to remember, this is a league that celebrates slam dunks and doesn't celebrate the San Antonio Spurs. But somebody late second round, he may get drafted. And I'm trying to think, is there anybody else in the Big Ten?
You know what you're saying, Steve, without actually saying it, is that the Big Ten puts a huge amount of folks in the first two into the draft, into the NBA, oh, yeah, because of the league that it is.
Oh, there's no question. When Penn State's out there, and Penn State, you know, they're fighting their guts out all the time against this team, you try to tell people, it's a really deep league.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's a really deep league.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and that's the way it is.
What you're saying is if you go to a Penn State basketball game at the Bryce Jordan, you're going to be seeing through the course of a season a whole host of future NBA stars walking through the doors.
You're going to see a lot of pros.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all these guys are going to get picked. Kraft and LaRosse are on the fringe to me. Kraft is certainly an incredibly celebrated player. There's no question about that. But I remember when I talked about before Penn State played them, I went through my evaluation of Aaron Kraft, and I gave exactly the same evaluation that I gave now. And somebody called up. They said, it's the first time I heard anybody be honest about him. Well, no, because
no,
everybody's like, oh, my goodness. You know, we've had Dan Dockage on the show again. Dockage says, hey, he'd be the first player I'd pick in the country.
Mm.
Well, he isn't the first player I'd pick in the country.
No.
Okay? Now, would I want him on my starting five and be my lockdown defender? Absolutely. Aaron Kraft is a hard-working, dive on the floor, relentless, never quit, really good defender. Now, let me tell you his weakness as a defender. His weakness as a defender is that power guards, and the last I checked, there are a couple of them in the big three-letter league here, okay? Power guards give him trouble. That's why he couldn't match up with DJ Newbill of Penn State. DJ Newbill in college is one of the few power guards out there that can just lower the shoulder, boom, go in, take you off the dribble, and they're hard for you to reach in and stop because of strength, okay, quickness, and also physicality. Aaron Kraft struggled with that kind of guard. All the other guards, you put him one-on-one with a point guard, where his footwork is superior. His hand-eye coordination in terms of quickness and anticipation, off the charts. Put a power guard on him, he struggles.
Yep.
Last time I checked, the three-letter league had a couple of those.
You know, and that's the same thing that kept our studio engineer Kyle Gogler out of the NBA, too. Those power guards, you just couldn't get past them.
And talent. I mean,
yeah,
it's really...
Than, yeah, that too, but...
Yeah. Well, we got...
Sorry, Kyle. That. It's okay.
Yeah, poor Kyle. He's just over there looking and going...
You seem a bit bitter there, Kyle. What the heck's going on here?
No, my...
A bit bitter, but...
My basketball career faltered very shortly after middle school, so it's all right.
We had high hopes for Kyle going into middle school, though.
No, I really didn't.
No. Well, see, I thought in the middle school draft, I wasn't sure whether he'd make the first or second round. He might get free agency status, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
No.
Well.
Which is why he's now here running the control panel at Sunbury Broadcasting.
Who the heck used to do that job?
You just can't keep track of them after Kyle. Or before Kyle.
They all start to blend, really.
Who the heck was that we had?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There was a guy once that was an award-winning play-by-play announcer, but...
He wins one award, and he takes off, he abandons him.
Exactly.
I don't care what's going on.
It was something
here.
With a K or a C. Was it Connor or Kurt, maybe?
I don't know.
But he put up on the river bridge over to Sunbury with his name on it.
Yeah.
Just a small little banner.
Yeah. Yep. Said congratulations to me.
Exactly.
I thought that's a little arrogant.
Yeah. You know, who knew he was president of the Kevin Herr fan club as well?
Oh, no, we knew that already. That is certain things. Yeah.
So what you're going to say, what you're really saying, Steve, in summing up, if I could, is there's going to be a fairly good Big Ten flavor with tomorrow night's NBS draft. And I'm sure Mr. Gottlieb, who I listened to on one of those networks that has all the letters in it, he's going to be talking.
Well, he's on CBS Sportsnet now. So he's on CBS now.
Aha!
Yes, he switched out of the four-letter network.
Yeah, not our favorite here in the Central Pennsylvania area for several reasons. We don't like them. But
yes, well, he's going to be on tomorrow. And again, you're talking about 1 year player out of Kansas in Wiggins, 1 year player out of Duke and Parker. Embiid is 1 year and out of Kansas. Randall's going to be 1 year and out of Kentucky. Vonleh's going to be 1 year and out at Indiana. Exum's from Australia, and there's no out anywhere.
Well, I don't know.
I had to laugh. I had to laugh in the NBA Finals. They kept talking about Patty Mills being from Australia. Patty Mills is from Australia. Patty Mills is from Australia. And I sat there, and I thought to myself, Patty Mills was a really good player at St. Mary's in California.
Yes, he was.
If I'm the St. Mary's Alumni Association, I'm ticked off.
Yeah.
They never got mentioned.
You know, that's right. And you know what's really funny is between Gonzaga and St. Mary's, which are in the same conference out on the West Coast, they must have that long bridge from L.A. right into Sydney Harbor, because they both schools have been known to find some incredibly talented Aussies. Now, Steve, as you know, I'm a big New Zealand guy. I lived there a couple years of my life. And we Kiwis are not big fans of the people, as we say, across the Tasman. And yet they do some pretty good things in basketball over there. They have a really outstanding professional league. New Zealand finished about fourth in the World Championships in basketball a few years back with some talented guys. That is an area, and they are fanatical about basketball in Australia and New Zealand now. They sell out their arenas from Auckland all the way 4,000 miles across Australia over to Perth and every place, every city in between. Basketball is huge. It is truly the NBA, a worldwide phenomenon now. Worldwide.
I remember Penn State beating New Mexico for third place in the NIT in 1990. And the big guy, the best player for New Mexico, it was an overtime game. Penn State won it 83-80, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right around there. Luke Longley.
Yes.
Yes, from down under.
Yes, he is.
So, let's take a break. We're going to talk about amateurism on our own version of Amateur Hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We know all about amateurism.
Yes. We're the masters of amateurism.
We are who we are.
Now, Steve, you had a real heavy thunderstorm out in the State College area this afternoon. We do believe that there's a severe thunderstorm warning for Union and Snyder and a few other counties around here.
Yeah, that I can see, because I can tell you right now, going through Williamsport's getting pounded right now with thunderstorms. And right on the Union Center County line is a very heavy line of thunderstorms. So right around Woodward and heading into the western part of Union County, very heavy thunderstorm cell going through there right now. And also Mifflin County, north in Mifflin County, right in the triangle of center, Union and Mifflin, that's a very, very heavy cell. Now, near Sunbury, Sealands Grove, it's okay, because this is sliding to the northeast, and it's not sliding to the east. All right, so that part should be fine, but up by Williamsport, they're getting pounded.
I hope the Williamsport minor league team is on the road then tonight.
I'm not sure about. Yeah. I know State College is here, and I expect them to play tonight.
Sort of dry off the field over at Lebrano. Is it Lebrano Field? Is that the correct name?
It's Medler Field at Lebrano Park.
That's it.
Is what it's called. All right.
Got it.
I call it the ballpark. sometimes you call it the Med. Whatever.
Do they call it the Lube?
No.
Okay.
Never.
I was just wondering.
Never have. But, just to let everybody know where the severe storms are. The severe storms are to the west of us right now, sliding to the northeast. Maybe an area gets clipped by this cell. State College is in the clear now. And I think they're going to remain in the clear for a while. But the heaviest of the cells is right on that Union Mifflin Center County line, sliding to the northeast with several lightning strikes in it. Williamsport is getting hit with a very heavy cell right now, as is a good portion of Lycoming County. And part of Clinton County, obviously, is getting rain, but not the heaviest of rain.
So if you're out in Mifflinburg or Millmont,
I'm staff meteorologist Steve Jones.
Yes, from
with an AccuWeather forecast.
AccuSteve, as we call him. But people need to know that.
Next hour, I'm going to talk about the amateur model that Mark Emmert. They keep talking about amateurism. I'm going to talk about what the Big Ten proposed. Jim Delaney did a special interview on BTN yesterday. And I'm going to tell you what the Big Ten presidents signed off on next hour.
Great.
Which, by the way, included Eric Barron. He signed off on it, too.